Welcome to The Exchange on KUCB. Coming up, what lessons can Unalaska learn from oil and gas development in the Gulf of Mexico? City Councilor Dave Gregory and Mayor Shirley Marquardt join us to talk about a recent council scouting trip to Louisiana's Gulf Coast. Stay with us. This is The Exchange. I'm your host, Stephanie Joyce. After years of almosts, it looks like oil and gas development in the Arctic is really going to happen this summer. But what does that mean for Unalaska and the Port of Dutch Harbor? Several city councilors, the mayor, the city manager, and the city planning director all went to Louisiana earlier this month to find out what changes the oil industry might bring to town. Councilor Dave Gregory and Mayor Shirley Marquardt are here in the studio with me today to talk about the trip and what they think is in store for Unalaska. And just before we jump in, let me remind folks that they can call in with questions or comments at any time. Do you have stories about oil and gas development that you'd like to share? Give us a call at 581-2161 or send an email to news@kucb.org. So just to start off, this interview was originally scheduled to just be Dave and I, but about 5 minutes ago, Dave, you called to say that you weren't willing to do the show without the mayor because this trip was really the mayor's brainchild. So maybe one of you can start off by explaining exactly how this trip came about.
I went to the manager and I said, you know, I think that we need to be looking at taking a trip down to Louisiana and, you know, trying to find out this new breed of animal before it comes up here. And I asked Corby Otin what he thought at Harvey Gulf, and he said, Shirley, y'all have no idea what's headed your way. You need to come down and see it. And if you come down here, he said, I will host you. I will help you set up meetings and make sure that you see people that you need to see. And he was outstanding.
And so, you know, maybe we can go over the schedule a little bit. I understand you spent one day with folks in two municipalities near Port Fouchon, and then you went to tour both the port and the port in New Orleans. Is that right? And then spent some time with Harvey Gulf and its subcontractors.
Yeah, Harvey Gulf is one of the subcontractors to Shell, as is Edison Schwest. But the council members had a chance to sit down with the Economic Development Council in Lafayette, which is a large community that's been heavily impacted by the oil and gas businesses down there. And then they took, and then from there we went down to Broussard, which is Dave has a really good way to explain kind of the Broussard, Louisiana connection in an Alaskan way, kind of strip malls of businesses that supply the community as well. And we wanted to talk to them about, you know, how did you plan for this kind of growth? How do these companies act during the exploration phase? How do things change under production? You know, what mistakes did you make that you wouldn't do if you had it to do over again in terms of community planning? And we were about 4 hours with them, and it was extremely valuable. And Dave?
Yeah, they're really good at trying to give us some pre-planning ideas. But as we drove down the road to Broussard, there was a lot of, you know, they're experiencing a lot of growth and a lot of new buildings that are occurring in that area. And I thought to myself, I'd seen this somewhere before. And then I recalled that if you drive from Kenai to Nikiski on the Kenai Peninsula, you see the same kind of thing that developed back in the 70s and 80s when Cook Inlet oil was a big boom. And all these metal buildings that were just kind of thrown up along the side of the road for several miles. And I thought, man, that's not what we want Unalaska to look like, you know, when this is all done with. And so, you know, the Lafayette folks, you know, really preached pre-planning to try to get ahead of the curve so that you kind of know and you direct growth in kind of a way that makes your community continue to be a quality of life community rather than a just big, great big industrial park. And so they're really helpful in that regard.
And I guess what did they say some of their biggest mistakes were along the way?
driveways.
It was funny. Yeah, they had this big main highway with all these driveways that intersected. And so traffic was really difficult. We had a real problem trying to get onto the highway and off again and back on again. And it was dangerous. And I thought, man, we don't have a big highway, but, you know, those are the kind of the little things that you need to plan and just to do a little bit of landscaping and, you know, make your buildings look nice rather than a just big boxy metal thing that someday is going to be a rusty hulk. And so, you know, and they also said, you know, you need to get ahead of the curve and, you know, develop your website and get information out to prospective businesses and such so that they know what's here in Unalaska, what the potential is. And I thought that was really, really good.
Also, just real quickly, you know, their big question, they said, you really need to try and figure out just how much more your population can absorb, what your community already has. If you have growth patterns, what might they look like and how might it affect your utilities, your school, your businesses? So we're going to, planning and zoning is going to kind of run some options like that over the next few months and look at numbers, bring it back to council and the public to kind of look at.
And you got into this a little bit, but maybe you can elaborate a little bit further. You know, you mentioned that there are sort of these strip malls of businesses and things like that. What does it look like? Can you describe to me what these communities look like and how it's different from Unalaska, maybe?
Well, let's take the FTS building where you have, you know, the Coast Guard and some of the state offices and then you go down to the, you know, rope shops and welding shops, et cetera. And it looked a lot like that, just on a larger scale. And a lot of the different businesses had their own facilities. Their offices are right in the same building as where they supply whatever need they are supplying, and they have a yard behind them. Some were medium, some were small, some were larger than others, just depending on what their specialty was. So again, you know, David and I were talking about this earlier. It's how's that going to affect Unalaska in the future? We really won't know until they know more about what they're going to be doing up in the Arctic. But one thing that they recognized very clearly was that we have an established port, we have an established business community, and there's nothing else like us anywhere near the Arctic.
Right. And so that was kind of a description, I guess, of the industrial side of things. But what did the actual communities look like? You know, for the folks who live near these ports, do they look like we do, or are they totally separate?
Well, you know, we really didn't make it out into the residential areas of Lafayette. We were at the economic development building. And when we drove through Broussard, that's just really kind of the business side. So that would be kind of like driving maybe through a modified OSI with some FTS buildings thrown in there. Mm-hmm. And all the other communities, when you head down to Fouchon's almost a three-hour drive from Lafayette, but that's where it all comes from. And you're just driving through bayou and swamp and very small little communities where it's mostly shrimping, and it's not affected like the larger support service communities. It's really odd.
Yeah, you'd drive along and there'd be, you know, houses and, you know, right next to the road and small businesses, but it was in Lafayette and Broussard that was the main industry, and then we drove these miles and miles where there's little communities all along the road, and then you get to the, you know, the monster of Port Fouchon. So.
Obviously a little bit different from our situation here, for sure. I guess, you know, did you talk to any of these fishermen that you saw down, the shrimpers that you saw down there, and what did they say if you did?
Well, we didn't talk to any shrimpers, go down to a shrimping boat and talk to them. But what is interesting is that people like Corby Yotin was born and raised in Little Galliano on the bayou, and he was a shrimper.
And let me just jump in. That's Harvey Gulf's
Correct.
Contact,
yeah,
the person who helped set up this trip.
Vice President of Operations for Harvey Gulf Marine. And, you know, Billy Bargeron, who works for Del Mar, he is a Cajun boy, bred all the way through and through, from fishing community and a fishing family. And, you know, he said, interestingly enough, that's how the support service sector really started in the Gulf in Louisiana, when they started putting these rigs and these platforms out, and they needed to get people and they needed to get parts and things out on a continuous basis. They'd go to these little shrimper guys and say, hey, I'll give you $200 to bring this out to the rig for me. And the guy'd think, yeah, well, that's a month's worth of shrimping. Sure, I'll go do that. And before you knew it, that's how Edison Schwest started. And before you knew it, he's got, I think, 250 vessels and, I don't know, 100,000, 150,000 employees worldwide. It's amazing.
Yeah, he said those guys, you know, the shrimpers pretty much migrated towards, you know, operating the vessels and working on the vessels. And they work this, 2 weeks or 3 weeks on and then 2 weeks off. And he said they do their shrimping in their off time and they work on the vessel as their kind of their main job. And that it seems to be integrated, you know, pretty good.
And do you see that as something that could happen here in Alaska? You know, obviously we have a much more industrial fishing industry, but do you think that's going to happen?
Yeah, you know, our main fishing industry, a lot of those guys are from out of town. But, you know, I think it's going to be a great opportunity for people up and down the chain and throughout Alaska, you know, if they'll go and go get the training and get their papers so that they can serve on these vessels. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for them to work, you know, a 2 week on, 2 week off schedule. They're good paying jobs. It's really a good career for them with a lot of advancement. So I think that's a fabulous opportunity for the folks, not only in Alaska, but throughout the chain in Alaska.
And I want to follow up on that a little bit, but I just wanted to remind listeners that if they're just tuning in, this is The Exchange on KUCB. City Councilor Dave Gregory and Mayor Shirley Marquardt are in the studio with me today discussing the recent council trip to Louisiana's Gulf Coast. If you have questions for the councilor or the mayor, or if you'd like to share your story about oil and gas development, give us a call at 581-2161. So you were saying that this would maybe be a good economic opportunity for folks in this community. What did you learn about the job creation potential while you were down there?
Well, you know, I think that's one of the things that I kind of want to learn when we went down there is just what kind of businesses and, you know, how big and how small and what are they and how varied are they and that sort of thing. And it's like, yeah, yes, it's all of that stuff. and we really don't know until Shell actually pokes a hole in the ground and they find out if there's oil there. But once they do, and if that occurs, it's going to be, a big opportunity for people to start, you know, small businesses, big businesses, or, you know, get jobs with those folks. So I think the potential is really, really quite great.
To add to that, Mayor Marquardt?
I think David is exactly right. And, you know, we're already doing what they need to have done for their vessels. We do for the Bering Sea Pollock Fleet. I mean, this community has been through this before. In 88, 89, they first started showing up, the larger fleet, industrial-sized vessels and fishing, and they said, hey, we're here and we need everything. We need someone to take care of us from logistics to trucking to people to food to parts to office supplies, you name it, warehousing, inventorying. And this community exploded, and we went through, you know, a huge, huge boom. And when they rationalized the fisheries, it went from the big boom to a business, you know, a business environment here that's really healthy and really solid year-round. And that's kind of what we saw on the trip when we looked at, for the oil and gas folks, their exploratory stage is like our fishing stage when it was open access. And then when it goes into production, it's very much like what we saw when the fisheries were rationalized and things slowed down and the community strengthened and families moved in and, you know, businesses really knew what to expect. So, you know, I think the opportunities are enormous here, and it is just going to be a fascinating next 5 years.
All right. And I guess, you know, shifting focus a little bit, I want to ask this question to both of you. What do you think the most valuable aspect of going on this trip was? I know it was quite a bit of money on the city's behalf, and I know that some people have leveled the criticism that it was a junket. So, you know, can you tell me what you think this was really all about?
Well, you know what? Everybody is saying that we've got this tidal wave of business coming to us, and as city councilman, you know, I'm going to be called upon to make some decisions about how we're going to manage that. And, you know, I didn't know anything about the oil industry, and I don't say I'm an expert now, but I learned an awful lot about, you know, just, you know, how a rig operates and what are some of the supply chains for that. And one of the guys down there described it as, you know, the exploration phase is like building a subdivision. You've got all these supplies and workers and stuff coming into the subdivision. That's kind of what exploration is. And then once that's built and we're in the production phase, it's like, okay, you know, you got these houses built and people are living. So people are coming back and forth and, you know, stuff is going back and forth. And so we need to figure out a way how we can how we can support the oil industry and not overcapitalize, because you know some of that stuff is going to fall off after exploration is done, and so we need to make sure that we can sustain this, you know, whatever it is that we do. And so for me, it was learning about the oil industry that I was really pretty ignorant of before, and you know, now I'm starting to get a little better idea of what's involved, and it's pretty mind-boggling.
And let me just follow up on that really quickly before I turn to you, Shirley. You know, I'm curious what you saw sort of in person. What did you really, you know, how did seeing it in real life change your perspective on this?
Well, we were on Wednesday. It was, we were down at the Edison Schwest facility. We just kind of walked into this big, huge warehouse that their vessels back in, and it's covered. You know, they have this big gantry crane that rolls out there, and they start adding fuel and water and mud and concrete, and supplies come off and supplies go back on. It's like, you know, for them, it's turning those vessels around in as short a time as possible is the key. And I was just really blown away by how choreographed all this is. The vessel comes in and everybody just, you know, descends upon it just like, man, we've got to get all this stuff done. We've got a short period of time, and then that boat's got to get out, so the next one comes in, and it's like, man, it was pretty amazing.
Sounds efficient.
Very.
And how about you, Mayor Mark Ord?
Well, for us, we're a fishing community. That's what we know. That's what we do. And this industry, the more, if you go on the internet and you read about it, the more that you learn, you realize how different they really are and how very fixed they are in the way that they do things. Like David said, it's all about efficiency, and they will spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars for a more to be able to compete efficiently with, you know, within their business to serve these rigs. So going down there firsthand and actually talking to city planners and to economic developers and to the president of the Oil and Gas Association for the state of Louisiana, who was there, they all told us, every single one of them said, you did such a smart thing by coming down here, because there's no way you can understand this business unless you have been involved in it. You cannot understand how it'll affect your community or what opportunities you might have that could turn sour if you're not aware of how they can move and turn. And we heard that from Edison Schwest. We heard that from Harvey Gulf. We heard that from the commissioner of the port at Port-Fourchon, you know, because we have to look at our port too. And they said, you know, taking the time to come down here and learn firsthand. You make these contacts as well. You know, there are people now that you can, you know, we can call or email and say, hey, you know what, we're thinking about going in this direction, and, you know, in our planning process. Is this something, did we get this right? Is this something that is going to work for us? And, you know, either we're going to get back, yeah, you guys are on the right track, or be, I see what you're trying to do, but no, we're not really interested in that. Here's more of what we need. And we're also going to get a much better feel, for me personally as mayor, what the differences are between what the public sector needs to do and what the private sector should be doing. And I think the private sector in this town has got a huge opportunity ahead of it. And I think that the public sector, the city sector, our biggest job should be to get out of the way of the private sector and to do everything we can to make, you know, it successful at new businesses, new services, successful growth for our the community and our neighborhoods and the school. And if you don't have any idea what you're talking about or how things work, you know, how are you going to do that? So if people do have questions about the cost or call to junket, I haven't heard any of that, but if they do, please, please, they're more than welcome to call. And we're going to put out information and pictures and do a community presentation here later on this summer when we kind of get everybody back. We want to bring all this information to everybody.
And let me just go back to something that you said in there. You know, Dave had brought this up just a few minutes ago about sort of overcapitalization and needing to know when to ride the wave and when to sort of jump off. And maybe you can talk about that. Is that a concern that you're planning to address, you know, as a city, as a council, for the community?
Oh, yeah, we're going to have to. I mean, that's going to be part of, you know, planning and zoning is going to be real busy, and which is a really good thing that Aaron Reinders went, our P&Z director. And the council is going to be busy doing the same thing. You're going to really have to weigh growth and financial gain with, you know, community, the flavor of a community, and what keeps on Alaska, Alaska. Because if we just allow it to turn into just this big money-raking machine, if that's even going to happen, you lose the soul of the community, of why people come here thinking they're going to stay for a year, maybe two, and they end up staying 20 and raising a family. And we don't want to lose that. So it's, you know, it's going to be a balancing act. But I think we got some really good pointers from the developers down in Lafayette. And so.
And maybe one of you could elaborate on sort of what some of those are. You know, what is sort of the near-term prospect for Unalaska, you know, with exploratory drilling first and then later on, you know, are we going to be part of the actual drilling if it goes on, or is it just the exploration phase that we're probably going to be involved in?
Well, you know, I think since we're the only real ice-free, you know, port year-round, that they're going to have to come through us. We've already got a great infrastructure, you know, started here. And, you know, and I think the big question is we go down and we look at Port Fichon, and that's, that equates to, you know, 32-some exploratory drilling rigs and several hundred production platforms. So what is our, you know, maybe five or six exploration rigs and, you know, a couple, three or four platforms, how is that, how are the two going to equate? And so that's kind of our charge, is to try to, you know, maybe give some direction and leadership to have folks make the right decisions, so we don't build too many of this or not enough of that and that kind of thing. So I think it's going to be a really exciting time. And that's one of the things that was, to me, that struck me, was that, you know, everybody that we talked to down there was just, they seemed to be so excited for us, and that they just wanted to help and make us, you know, make sure we're kind of ready for it. And that would, and I really got hyped up. It's like, man, this is a good opportunity, a wonderful opportunity that businesses and folks in the town are going to be really amazed at when it starts to come down the road here.
And are there any city infrastructure projects that are ongoing that are specifically targeted towards oil and gas development at the moment?
No, not yet. It's just far too early. But, you know, we'll be looking at, of course, at the port, at the UMC expansions there, or changes, upgrades to it. And again, one of the one of the studies we're going to be running in house is how much population or business growth can you absorb under our basic infrastructure that we have now, you know, water, sewer, you know, electric. So those are some things we're going to do our best to get a handle on as we move into the next year. And we're also going to need to wait and see what Shell does this summer. Everybody's waiting to see, you know, basically what happens, you know, and maybe they just end up going up there, taking the drill rig and not even sinking a well this year. It might happen. They're already very late because of the ice. But, you know, the folks down in Fichon, everyone we talked to, they seem to, you know, without coming right out and saying it, they seem to be signaling very strongly that everyone believes that the science is there and that the resource is there and that they are all going to be there. And they are all learning that this port is established. It's not just because it's a deep draft port, not just because it's ice free, but it's got an established community, an established business community that already knows how to get large vessels in and out. You know, nowhere else they didn't realize that we take in international, you know, foreign and domestic cargo ships three times a week, year round. You know, who knew? They didn't. So, like David said earlier, they really suggested y'all really need to do more work getting this information out, revamping your website. And so we've got some ideas on that we'll be talking about with council publicly, but it's probably going to be after the end of the summer.
Everybody's out fishing.
Yeah, but certainly, you know, our new powerhouse, you know, upgrade and the upgrades to the wastewater system and the water system they're coming at a great time where we're going to have those nice new facilities that will be able to take a pretty substantial amount of growth, you know, that's coming down for the community. So I think we're poised to be in a pretty good position in that regard, and that money that we've spent has been well spent.
And am I right to say that the ports director didn't join this trip?
No, she was. You could ask the city manager, but she was as a new employee. I'm not even. She was just getting her feet wet in the office. So,
all right. So, no ports development stuff in the works just yet.
Not just yet, but it's something that definitely, you know, we'll be looking at in the next year.
Well, we tried to get involved in a big ports bond package that the state was pushing through, but unfortunately, the powers to be above everybody else's level didn't think that that we needed to be in there. So that was kind of a disappointment. That would have been a big, big key for us. But we'll just continue to try to push to try to get it's a pretty large quantity of money that we're talking about, and we want to try to upgrade the city facilities. It's going to take some help from the state and the feds, and so we'll keep pushing in that direction.
All right. Well, we have just about a minute left. Are there any additional things that you wanted to wrap up with? Any comments on what you saw and what you did?
Well, I guess, you know, my eyeballs are still just huge and round. My head's still spinning from everything that we saw, and, you know, the possibilities there. And then I come back and I get back to my, you know, my little island home, and I'm driving around and I'm thinking, how on earth are we going to absorb everything that we saw? And the simple question is, well, we're not. And everything that we saw in Fushan is not going to be headed our way. But even if just a portion of it comes this way, and you know, the jury's still out. I mean, they are still looking for the best place for them to do business, whether in the exploratory stage or the production stage. However, they just keep coming back to us just because of our geographic location and because of our established, you know, business port. So for me, I just keep thinking, this is going to be the craziest year to, you know, 2 or 3 years that I can remember in a long time. And I saw the, you know, the Pollock boom, lived through the Pollock boom, you know, through that. And I think we're just, I think we're about to start another one. So I'm really excited.
I agree. It's the opportunity is going to be pretty fantastic for folks. And I think that people need to start thinking about, you know, how they can get involved and become players in this.
All right. Well, thank you both for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
And that was The Exchange. You're listening to KUCB.